Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. I am your writer-in-chief, Rosalind Jackson. I am a lover of words, and that love led me to a passion for writing. And what's the next best thing to writing? Talking about writing. So kick back and join me for mind-blowing chats about writing, covering everything from screenplays to novels to poetry, from nonfiction books to songwriting, and much more.
Rachel Smith, or Ray as she is commonly known by her peers and loved ones, was born and raised in Inglewood, California. Ray attended the University of California, Riverside, where she received her Bachelor of Arts degree in communications with a minor in theater in 2010. While attending UCR, Ray earned a public relations internship with BET Networks, which later transitioned into her becoming a respected communications and public relations contractor within the entertainment industry. Ray then decided to transition her career to focus on film and television production. She began working in film development as a development assistant at Our Stories Films, which was headed by super producer Tracy Edmonds at the time. After moving on from Our Stories Films, Ray continued to freelance as a development consultant and production assistant for many films and television series. In 2015, Ray launched her independent film company called Joe's Dream Productions that specializes in creation, development, and production of quality and diverse films and television programming. Most recently, Ray was added to the crew of the Emmy-nominated TV One series, Tough Love Los Angeles, as a producer. Further, she has worked in production on numerous television series for MTV, Showtime, A&E, TV One, and BET Networks. In addition to her entertainment career, Ray has proven to be quite the enterpriser and businesswoman. In 2017, she created the Boss Moves Planner to help visionaries plan, implement, and succeed in their desired ventures within a year's timing. Welcome to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. We are speaking with Rachel Smith today. Thank you so much for being on the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. This is an honor. This is actually my first podcast.
Oh, really?
It is. I've never been featured before, so I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
I'm surprised. You seem like you may have like been on a bunch of podcasts and all that kind of stuff and, you know, out there doing your thing.
Yeah, I lay low, I think. For the most part, you know, I just get the job done and go home.
So let's tell everybody, we know each other. So let's tell everybody how we met. You want to go first or?
Yes, I would love to go first. I always love talking about this experience. It's been one of the many joys of my career as a young entertainment hopeful, I guess. So in 2009, I was Rosalind's intern at then Our Story Films, founded by Mr. Robert Johnson. And it was headed by Miss Tracy Edmonds. Yep. And I got that internship. It was a development intern there. And I got so much knowledge and acquired so much knowledge. But I landed that internship while I was a student at UC Riverside. Go Highlanders. it's been a great relationship since. Mm-hmm. You guys have become like family to me, you know. I like to hone in to keep those relationships, especially in the entertainment industry, that just feel good, you know what I mean? It's right. Very hard to, I feel like it's hard to come by good relationships. And so we began as an intern, and of course, as time has gone on, you know, careers have blossomed and, yes, and things like that. But we somehow, some way have stayed connected all these years. And
I know, that's weird.
I'm very glad about it. That's an amazing thing. You know, I'm excited about that.
That's
pretty cool.
And let's clear it up, because back then I didn't have no clout to have my own personal intern. But I think you were like the intern for the company, and I think you were mainly working with Glendon, right?
I was mainly everybody, but yes, just to be clear, yes, I was mainly working with Mr. Glendon Palmer.
Yeah.
And so I was assisting him mostly, which was a joy. Hi, Glendon, if you're out there watching.
Hey, Glendon.
See you.
What was his, I don't think he was VP at the time. I think he was director of development. I don't know if he ever got the VP title or not. I don't remember.
I can't remember his title, but I remember he was over development in some capacity.
And then he used to give me stuff to do, and then I would give you guys the intern stuff to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What were your intern duties? What kind of things did Glendon have you doing?
Ooh. You know what? This was my first actual glance into development, which I fell in love with. I just fell in love with the development process. But really, because I believe at the time our stories were so small, you know, it was like a very, very small company. Mm-hmm. So I was in charge of getting the scripts, reading the scripts, and then giving coverage. In performing coverage of the scripts, and then giving my feedback about, you know, should I, you know, would I recommend it to be greenlit or whatever have you. That was one portion. That's like the development side. And that's mostly what I did day in and day out. You guys, I remember it was not like a lack of scripts to read. It was so many scripts.
You'll never be looking for a script to read. Like, I don't know. Right. Nope.
It was so many scripts. So I had that. And of course I had my intern duties, meaning that ranged from anywhere from getting lunch and getting coffee and that kind of thing. You know, I definitely had to earn my stripes, and I couldn't cheat the system. Probably was looking for a way, but I couldn't cheat it. And so I think that was the brunt of it. And of course I had like some small administrative, tasks to do, you know, if he needed me to like call somebody or, you know, type of a memo or some things like that. But for the most part, it was, script coverage and running errands and light administrative duties here and there.
So what was your experience, or what did you take away from your experience at Our Stories Films?
Well, again, that was my first look into development ever. Prior to being at Our Story Films, I was at BET for a very, very long time. I started in the PR industry. I started in entertainment overall. I'm probably jumping the gun here, but I started off in entertainment overall when I was 16. So I began to intern in the PR side, in like this little private boutique PR agency, and I used to be like my after school job. And later that transitioned into a PR type of internship at BET. And then I realized at the time that I didn't actually want to be in PR, and that I actually wanted to be more in film and television. And so this internship actually was my first look into development. And so it taught me everything. Like I got a firsthand look into what it takes to actually make movies and make content, from reading scripts and doing coverage to actual, you know, sitting in on meetings. I remember for the first time, before Devon Franklin became the big guy Devon Franklin is today. But yeah, I remember when we were making Jumping the Broom. And I remember it was in its very, very pre-production stages. And Devon Franklin just walks through the door. And I remember sitting in on a meeting, just kind of taking notes for Glendon. Mm-hmm. But just being able to sit there and to listen to, you know, the rhetoric that was happening in those meetings, it really sparked something in me. It made me, like, you know, actually get a firsthand look at to see what it was. And from that time, I literally was just, I was like, oh yeah, this is where I want to be. I was in love. I was in love.
Yeah. And you said you started PR. What made you want to get in PR?
I didn't have a desire to be in PR, to be honest with you. How I got into the entertainment industry is a very, very unique story. My mom, she used to work at a post office off of 3rd and Fairfax called Bicentennial Post Office. Okay. She was a window clerk. And that area was heavily saturated with all kind of entertainment professionals. And so she would talk to anyone from Brian McKnight to Forrest Whitaker. Like, everybody came to her. Everybody was her customer, right? And so one day this lady by the name of Lynn Jeter came in and they built a rapport and it became her normal customer. Mm-hmm. And Lynn lived around the corner from the post office where she worked. Well, Lynn Jeter owns a private boutique PR firm. And so called Lynn Allen Jeter and Associates. Okay. And so my mom, she always knew that, like, I had a knack for entertainment. My mom always foresaw me to be a newscaster.
Oh.
But I didn't want to be a newscaster, you know, but she knew that I wanted to do something in entertainment. So, you know, getting to know Lynn Jeter, her being her regular customer, it just came up in conversation. And so I think my mom just saw a way in, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she said, hey, I have a daughter, you know, at the time I was attending Fairfax High School for summer school. And she said, well, you know, she can just come over after school. And of course, my mom was looking for things for me to do. She's a single parent. And so she needed things for me to stay busy in the summer. And so she made me start going to Lynn Jeter and interning. Interning, because I wasn't getting, like, credits, so I was just really, like, volunteering. We'll call it volunteering. but yeah, she just sent me over to Lynn Jeter's, and from there I met awesome people. And, you know, the people who were actually in Lynn's office, their desire was to be in PR, so they went on, they advanced their careers. Mm-hmm. And as they advanced, they took me along with them.
Okay.
So, and I have to shout out Vonsella McIntosh. I would be, you know, a jerk if I didn't. So, hi, Vonsella. She's the one who kind of pulled me into BET. So,
oh, okay.
That's kind of how I got the start in entertainment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, tell me about the independent film company you created. It's called Joe's Dream Productions?
Joe's Dream Productions.
Name come from?
Huh?
Where'd that name come from?
Oh, right. Everybody's like, who is Joe? Like, why him? And what's the significance? Well, so Joe's Dream Productions, the name Joe comes from Joseph in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
If you are familiar with the Joseph story, he's a dreamer. He's the dreamer. It was his dream that ultimately preserved, like, his brothers and an entire nation, which is Egypt, during the time of famine. You know, he had dreams and things like that actually helped to preserve. So I like to liken that to my art. I believe that the content that I make, you know, the goal is to always be in the mindset of using art just to help to preserve and to enlighten and to inspire. So My hope is that, you know, that it literally changes lives, and that it literally helps people along the way and along their journey. Therefore, I kind of liken it to preservation, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the whole name and the breakdown of the name Joe String Productions.
Oh, that's really cool. That's a good connection.
Yeah. Thank you.
I didn't know the story. I'm a heathen. I didn't know the story.
Oh, no. It's okay. You know, it's all right. You can go back. It's a very interesting story. Like, one thing I love about Bible stories, I mean, like, although some people, you could take it for what it is, mm-hmm. like, away from religion. Mm-hmm. It's actually like great stories, you know what I mean?
Right.
So even like Prince of Egypt is one of my favorites, mm-hmm. you know. Katzenberg did his thing with that. So mm-hmm.
Oh wow. So yeah. Tell me about the company itself and like what kind mm-hmm. of projects you're working on or have worked on.
Yes. So we have developed a few projects. That are, well, currently what we're working on, we have a whole team for a documentary that we're looking to put out. It's called The Harlem Renaissance 100th Anniversary of Black Genius. Mm-hmm. And that basically is to commemorate 100 years since the Harlem Renaissance. So I have a team that's currently working to put that together. And so other projects in the past that we developed, and we have like a wedding show that we developed, and it's called a Wedding to Remember, and that's pretty much like a docu-series, mm-hmm. Helping underserved people get the wedding of their dreams, you know, very deserving people who necessarily can't afford it. So that's a project that we've developed as well. And it's just multiple projects, but the basis of it is we like to do a variety of both family content, as well as dramatic content, as well as comedic content. Mm-hmm. But those three fields pretty much is what the type of content we develop in those three realms. And so that's pretty much what you can expect from Joe String Productions.
Oh, those sound like some really good projects.
Yeah.
The Renaissance one.
Yes. So we, you know, that's the one that's currently, that we're currently working on. We're deep in pre-production on that. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited. And my team and I are very, very excited about it. I have one of the coolest DPs of all time. I have to shout her out. Hi, Erin, Miss Erin Wesley. She just won an award. She's a new AFI graduate.
Oh, wow.
And she is just amazing. She actually just finished assisting on the Michael B. Jordan shoot. The Sexiest Man in the World. What is that? People, Sexiest Men in the World.
Yeah.
She did that. She's just amazing. She's breaking barriers left and right. And so I'm very excited to have her on the project and to DP this. And, you know, I trust her creative genius and just my whole team in general. Seshmila, Reginald, mm-hmm. Nisha. Hi, y'all. So... So yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing, and they're helping me bring this vision to life.
Well, that's really cool. I love to hear about female DPs and different you know, positions that you wouldn't expect women to be in, and that's really cool. I'm always girl power.
Absolutely. And the thing is, she's dope. She's like a dope DP with an awesome eye. Her creative lens is just light years ahead.
Oh, that's great. I'll need to interview her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Cool. Absolutely.
I remember when we were shooting for Gangs People Play, the camera team, they were pretty much, except for the DP himself, there were, I think there was three different women, and they were all part of the camera team. And walking around carrying those heavy cameras and stuff, mm-hmm. and getting all the camera equipment together.
Yeah,
really good to see, you know, a female team doing that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's always good to see, right?
Yes. So now you're working on a project through TV One. Tell us about that.
So that is Tough Love Los Angeles. I'm currently, we've already shot it, but this is season 4, actually, of the show. It is Emmy nominated, created by wonderful masterminds, both Caleb and Ranisha Davis. I have to shout them out. They are amazing creators, very, very brilliant young writers. I'm very, very proud of them. But they brought me along this season, and I'm very, very grateful for them. But they brought me along to be the producer slash production manager for this season. Mm-hmm. And so I had, you know, the pleasure of just working and being a part of the team to get this awesome project, you know, distributed and on TV. So here we are.
Well, what are some of your duties on the project? Like what day to day, like, or if it was, I don't know if you guys met daily in an office setting, you know, even though COVID's going on, like I know things are crazy with, you know, situations with production. So what was it like for you guys?
I think I had a little bit of every, so because we were a very, very small team. Mm-hmm. But not only were we a small team, but we were a team that was trying to complete this project in the midst of COVID. Mm-hmm. So my responsibilities literally ranged from A to Z. Mm-hmm. It was a definitely a team effort to get the goal accomplished. Mm-hmm. So I could, you know, I didn't mind doing what I had to do. And that means any day from just ordering lunch mm-hmm. to actually, you know, sitting on phone calls with managers to cast, you know, different people or, you know, attempt to cast different people for the show. So I had a wide range of responsibility, especially just as a, you know, as a, you know, producer. And you want to make sure that all of your I's are dotted, all of your T's are crossed, because, you know, ultimately, a lot of the, you know, they want to make sure that it's just a good product. And that my thing was, I will always wanted to make sure that their shoulders were light, mm-hmm. as light as possible. Right. Mm-hmm. So whatever that looked like, I tried to be as solution oriented as possible, and be as forward thinking as possible. Mm-hmm. And so again, as when we say responsibilities, that means range, that could range from anything. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, just making sure that all bases are covered, mm-hmm. and that the needs of the set were met.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the show about?
Yes. Well, the show follows 6 millennials, mm-hmm. Throughout the dating process, throughout life circumstances. It touches on topics from racial injustice. We have an episode about that, a couple episodes that a storyline follows on one of the young ladies. Her storyline goes there, but then also just to being in LA and not being able to find an adequate relationship. So it's just really about life and love. And it touches on all of the issues that we currently face and that we go through, especially as young people of color. Mm-hmm. And young people in color in dating and relationships. So that's pretty much what the show is about. And it's a drama. It has, you'll laugh at some points, you'll probably cry at some points. Mm-hmm. You know, you can feel the rage of, you know, some of the women dealing with some of the guys on the show, like, oh my God, I know you're lying, right? you can have those moments, so you'll feel a wide range of emotions. But all in all, it's a very, very good show.
Oh, that's good. I checked out the pilot, mm-hmm. and I like the topic. It was, you know, as you said, dealing with racial injustice, mm-hmm. and I saw that the main character, who's the main character? Is it Maya? That's the main character.
Well, it's. I'm sorry.
or for that episode, it was more focused on her.
It was just yeah.
And I saw that she was still in mourning after her brother was killed by police a year later. Mm-hmm. She's still trying to find justice. So I thought that was great to bring in, you know, what's happening now into a show.
Yeah.
There was one moment, like you said, people have different emotions about it. There was one part where I got kind of mad at the guy. I forget which character it was, but they were planning to go to Maya's house, and he was in the car with the other girl, and he was talking about taking the wearing a daishiki or something and bringing it there.
Uh-huh.
And when he hung up, the girl that was in the car, she was like, "Who is she?" And he was like, "That's my business." How you always talk about that's your business and you in the car with her? So it's like one of those scream at the screen moments.
Yes. It's just listen, okay? It's just a mess, okay?
So I thought that was pretty funny.
Right? I'm just saying, but hey, one thing I like about Tough Love LA is that it's relatable. I think every woman that watches the show, they'll be able to be like, oh my God, like, they've been through that stuff before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not foreign. You've been through this? What? What are you talking about? You know?
So, how many episodes in total is the show?
I believe we did 10.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good amount.
Yeah.
Are you guys on schedule for a new season, or is it all still being negotiated?
Well, we don't know yet. Yeah. not to my knowledge. I haven't gotten word yet on that.
Yeah, a lot of productions are up in the air because of this COVID. Nobody knows really what's going to happen. Right. Like, oh my goodness, we need to get through it because it is really tough, and especially with budgets. That's the main thing. Like, a lot of shows are having a tough time or either getting put on hold because COVID is putting, like, depending on what kind of show you're working on, COVID is putting like an extra $2 million on a budget.
I'm telling you. I mean, with all of the nurses, or nurse practitioners, whatever, I don't know, practitioners, I don't know, having to get like tested.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so when I say COVID is upping budgets, for the people who aren't familiar, they have to have the nurses there that are testing people. They have to stand watch for, you know, make sure people are, like, if you're in the eating area, they have to make sure the lunch is being served a particular way. You can't have open food like you used to. You can't, you know, like, help yourself to food. There's, I believe a lot of productions are doing like boxed lunches and things like that. And so, yeah, it's really crazy. Awesome.
don't let you have a star on the show.
Right.
You know, that means that they probably, you know, could demand their own catering. I mean, it's so many different avenues, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, let's pray the productions survive this.
Yeah. That's definitely my prayer.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what's next for Rachelle Smith?
Wow. So right now we're really just focused on this Harlem Renaissance project. We have so many great assets that are attached to the project. You know, we have so many people and talent and resources that have just kind of generated and attached itself to the project. Mm-hmm. So right now we are just still developing. We're in the midst of securing, or, you know, wanting to secure a producing partner to help us to bring it to fruition. Mm-hmm. We want to say, of course, we still want to have our say in and be as independent as possible. We know that, right? But still, we definitely are looking for a producing partner to help get it together. And then hopefully sometime by mid or even late third, fourth quarter of next year, we can have something on the table, distribute it. The goal is to definitely do streaming. We want it to be streamed and available for stream either through like a Netflix or a Hulu or something of that sort. And so right now that's really the focus for me, getting that together and off the ground. Yeah.
Cool.
As far as entertainment is concerned.
Well, what's next for you, the entrepreneur? I know you had your Boss Moves planners.
Yes, we are still doing that. We were supposed to have that together for this year and relaunch. However, it was a big thing after COVID happened. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't. It was impossible. We ship out through China. Mm-hmm. And so after that happened, COVID hit, and then shipments weren't even, mm-hmm, you know, happening or coming into the United States from China. Mm-hmm. They had stopped all of that. So, you know, it kind of threw a wrench in my movement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the plan is to next year, we'll see how it goes. And of course, I want to bring it back. Mm-hmm. And then we're also looking at different avenues. We're looking at different, you know, different apps and how we could take it digital.
Oh, okay.
Some form of digital type of plan. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much where we're going with it, and we're exploring it now.
Oh, that's cool. I do see a lot of people who do have planners online and things like that. I'm kind of a part of the planner world. I keep a planner, but I'm not consistent, so I'm working on being consistent with it. But it is pretty fun. But it's like for 2020 with COVID, it's like, what are we really planning?
but there's still stuff to be done. I mean, people still have things and ambitions that they want to accomplish. And I feel like COVID is a, you know, it's some type of blessing in it. Mm-hmm. Although you can't go out, there is downtime for you to work on the different things that you probably, you know, and want to endeavor to do.
Exactly.
And so, you know, there's a need for it. I feel like, you know, there's some type of need for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I've been working on mine a little bit. So it is still helpful. You put 2 o'clock. Take out the trash.
Yeah, right.
3 o'clock. Take a nap. No.
Right. She's like, "That's my COVID story right there." I hear you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast.
Of course, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I love it. I told you this is my first time on a podcast, so this is amazing. Thanks for having me.
You did great.
Thanks for taking the time to tune in to the Wordy Girl Entertainment Podcast. Don't forget to check out my blog at www.wordygirlent.com. That's WordyGirlent.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at WordyGirlent. And on Facebook at www.facebook.com/WordyGirlENT. And always remember, it all begins with a single word. So what are you waiting for? Go write.